Well, good morning, Freedom Worship Center in Aarberg, Manitoba.
Happy Valentine's Day. It's so great to be with you guys.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day. We're excited to be able to share with you on this special day. And we've selected a message that is close to our hearts, something that we believe is going to help husbands and wives, men and women, to get along better. Because the more we understand each other, the more we understand how we think, how we feel in relating, the better it's going to be. So we're going to have a message today on love and respect.
And just to be clear, it's not just for married couples, so please don't check out. If you're a man or a woman, this message is for you, because we have to learn how to get along in order to rightly represent Jesus' heart.
Exactly. So the message is for everyone. And I want to read a scripture in Philippians 2, 3 to 5, and this kind of gives you the overall perspective of the message today. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And I mean, that is a powerful, powerful passage. Just talking about how selfless we need to be, mm-hmm. how we need to be thinking about others. Now, I want to just shift to another passage in Ephesians 5, which also reflects this mindset. And this is a famous passage where Paul talks about the church and Jesus and how we need to love, as husbands need to love our wives, like Christ loves the church. And it's a really deep passage, but I want to focus just on two little pieces of it. And the first is verse 21. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this just means that, you know, submitting to one another means that we want the good of the other person
right.
above ourselves.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, if all of us had that kind of attitude where we wanted other people to be blessed more than us, and even to try to bless them and just lift them up, then the world would be a great place. And here's what it says then in verse 33. So down to verse 33. Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now this is interesting. Submit to one another. And then specifically Paul, the apostle, saying we need a husband should love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now this is a very interesting concept that I think we could overlook. We could read this and not mm-hmm. even see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a man named Dr. Emerson Eggerich, and he wrote a book called Love and Respect. And the whole premise of the book is how this passage actually reflects how men and women need to be loved, need to be cared for by their spouse. And that's what we want to unpack today. Now, we shared this, I think, about 5 years ago in the
wow.
church. And we just felt it was important to go back and share this again, because it's such an important concept. And so he starts off by saying that men have a different megaphone. In other words, they talk a certain way,
yep.
and they have a different megaphone and a different way of hearing than women do.
That's true.
And
yeah.
so the problem is this, and any of you who are married would understand this, a man might say something one way, but a woman with her
hears
hearing aid
hears
it, yeah, totally differently, right?
That's
and
right.
vice versa.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem comes, because the man doesn't mean what he's saying to offend, but the woman's taking it differently and vice versa. So this is kind of the difference between men and women in many ways. And studies have now shown that a man's greatest need in life overall is to be respected, and a woman's is to be loved or to feel loved. Now, again, I want to just say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is in general. But obviously, you might listen to this message today and say, well, it's kind of opposite for me. And I'm a man and I feel like I need to be loved, or I'm a woman and I want to be respected. I think we all want to be
yes,
respected. But
yes.
but there might be
and
some
love.
Things that you would relate more to, and that's okay. John Gottman of the University of Washington, he actually said this. He said, in an article, Why Marriages Succeed and Fail, he said, we now know that what makes marriages succeed and fail is love and respect.
Mm.
So it's interesting mm-hmm. that even, you know, the experts today would agree with that whole aspect. So I want to look at the two commands to start off here, and Belle's going to come in on the second one, but I want to look at the first one, which is to husbands, okay? The first command is husbands are to love their wives. Now, what does this mean? The actual word in the Greek is the word agape. And that's the same word that's used to describe Jesus' love for us. Now, recognize that Jesus died on the cross for us. So his love was pretty great, right? So think about that for a minute. We're encouraged or commanded, actually, to love our wives. We're commanded to agape our lives, just like Jesus loved the church or loved us. And Ephesians 5:25 says the same thing. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So guys, listen, that's a pretty high order. Would you agree with that? Like, the challenge is, hey, you need to love your wife like Jesus loves his church. Like, be willing to lay down your life for her.
Whew. I'll go get your cross.
That's intense. I mean, that's intense. But I think the good news is, and we're going to look at this, there are very practical ways
Absolutely.
We can do that. And of course, God knows that we're all in process. We're all growing. We're all developing. And so hopefully today you'll just be encouraged to take those next steps. Mm-hmm. So what's the second command, Val?
The second command that scripture talks about is wives are to respect their husbands. And this has been quite a journey for me. And I have to say, raising four sons helped me see that this was not just an issue that Ian had. This was a reality for all of my boys. And it was a very real need for them. And literally in that scripture there, Paul is saying to the words there are meaning to greatly respect. We're supposed to love and respect everybody. But when it comes to your spouse, especially, and because you want a long relationship till death do us part, great respect, that's something that you have to keep working at your whole married life, your whole covenant life that you have. The definition of respect is this: admiration felt or shown for someone that you believe has good ideas or qualities. Now, can you imagine for a minute that, I think Dr. Eggerich uses this example in his book, but that you're hooked up to an air tank. And if I, as a woman, am hooked up to an air hose and there's a tank there, that tank would read the word love on it. And if Ian was hooked up to an air hose and a tank, that would read the word respect on it. And typically what happens is if you step on my air hose or I step on your air hose, we feel deflated. Something changes inside of us and we are starving for the very thing that we need.
Yeah,
and we don't
right.
mean to do it. There were times actually I thought Ian did mean to do it, but most of the time he actually didn't.
I really
did. He actually didn't, and he didn't know what he was doing. Eggerich says this: in counseling, I tell the husband that when he sees the spirit of his wife deflate, he's stepping on her air hose. She is crying out, I feel unloved right now by you, and I can't believe you're doing this to me. But Eggerich points out that the husband needs respect just as much as he needs air to breathe. He has the big air hose on him, right, that says respect. And as long as air is coming through that, he's going to feel like $1 million. But if it isn't, then he's not going to feel so much. And then we end up, if we don't do that, if both of us are stepping on each other's air hose, the oxygen's not getting to our spirits.
Well,
crazy cycle.
Yeah, we can go to the crazy cycle. The first cycle, actually, that I'll start with is the energizing cycle. We'll start with the positive. The energizing cycle is when, like, okay, so I'm loving Val the way she needs to be loved. I'm caring for her the way she needs to be cared for. So I'm speaking her language. Her air hose is bringing that love to her, and it's all awesome. And then because of that, she's so motivated and moved by it that, you know, she's respecting me, right? It's coming out of that. So she's respecting me. My language is being spoken. I'm being encouraged. And that makes me want to love her more, which makes her want to respect me
Win-win.
More. And it's called the energizing cycle. You see, it just kind of builds and there's more energy. Now, what we don't want is the crazy cycle. Yeah, we don't want the crazy cycle. The crazy cycle is when you're stepping on each other's air hoses. And so what happens is, I'm not feeling respected, so then I act unloving, right? Because I don't feel respected, I act unloving. She's stepping on my respect hose, I'm stepping on her loving hose. And so then she feels unloved, so she's disrespecting out of that, which makes me feel disrespected and unloving, and you kind of see how that works.
I'm getting confused.
That's the crazy cycle, all right? And that's the negative part of it, and we don't want to get into that. You know, that's where I'm withholding love, she's withholding respect, and it goes around and around and around.
How do we stop that?
Well, here's good questions. Perfect. Here's how you stop it. And there's two good questions, and we've used these questions before. Here it is. The first one is this: this would be Val saying this. You know what, honey? That felt disrespectful when you said that. Did I say or do something unloving? Actually, that would be you. Yes.
That's okay.
I got confused.
It's okay. It's the crazy cycle.
All good. I got confused. So that would be me. Honey, that felt disrespectful. Did I say or do something unloving? In other words, did I cause you to say that? Did I create a reaction? And then the other one is, you know what? Honey, that felt unloving. That would be Val saying it. Mm-hmm. Did I say or do something disrespectful? And so what it's doing is it's stopping the crazy cycle by saying, okay, wait a minute. Maybe there's a cause and effect happening. Now, listen, if there's no cause and effect and I was just being a jerk, which sometimes happens, then I just need to admit that, right? Like,
Hardly ever. You didn't say anything wrong.
I just snapped at you and I'm sorry, right? But sometimes it can be a wake-up call for the other person to go, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I wasn't responding well. So those are just some thoughts. And, you know, when we've taught this before, we've had feedback and people said, that's actually helpful. Because I think all of us...
We're looking for language, right?
All of us have seen that happen at times in our married lives. So these are two powerful phases that will help you to move forward. And so Val has some thoughts to start off with.
Let's talk about respect.
About respect.
Right? Let's talk about respect. And so I know probably most of you are aware of the song R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And then I looked it up just to make sure what the words were right after that. And it says... find out what it means to me. The funny thing about that song, and maybe some of you know this, Aretha Franklin, she's the one who made it famous, but it actually was written by a man named Otis Redding. And when I read the rest of the lyrics of the song, he was actually talking about, I bring home my paycheck and you show me no respect and I give it to you and what do I get? I get no respect.
So that's actually
what the song was about. So it wasn't actually so much for a woman, although it can be used both ways, but it was actually used and written by a man. One of my favorite authors, her name is Shanti Feldhahn, and she and her husband write books. She's a Harvard-trained analyst, and she became a social researcher when she ran into some struggles in her own marriage 20 years ago. And she and her husband have went on to write phenomenal books that have changed so many marriages all over the world, for men only and for women only. If you have not read those books, I highly, highly recommend them. They blew my mind at how accurate they were. And when Ian and I both read them to each other and for each other, we were amazed
They're
at how
books.
It was
Amazing.
True that generally speaking, women are wired a certain way, and
yeah.
generally speaking, men are wired a certain way. Shanti interviewed 400 men, and she asked this question. She said, if you had a choice between feeling unloved or disrespected for the rest of your life, and those were your only choices, which one would you choose?
Wow.
74% of men that she interviewed said, I would rather be unloved the rest of my
wow.
life than be disrespected the rest of my life. Isn't that incredible?
Amazing.
That would amaze us. So to a guy saying, I disrespect you, I don't like you, is like telling a woman, I don't love you, I never loved you, and I will never love you. That's the comparable piece of that. If Ian was to tell me, I don't love you, I've never loved you, that would just crush me. But that's what it would feel like for him if I said to him, I don't respect you. So love believes the best, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. And the other thing that Egerton says in his book too, he says, do you believe you've married a good-hearted man or a good-hearted woman? And his quote is, he says, when he's talking about respecting our husbands, he's not talking about us being a doormat. He says, I don't mean that you're burying your brains or that you never show leadership as a woman or ever disagree in the slightest way. I don't mean that he's superior to you or that you're inferior. I don't want you to ignore your own hurts and your own vulnerabilities. The bottom line is this. Respecting Ian, respecting men in general, is an attitude that I can have, and it's a behavior that I have. And it makes all the difference to a man or woman. And he shares this one example in the book that a woman had been married for 22 years, and she was frustrated and discouraged because she felt like her husband didn't speak her love language. Mm-hmm. And she said this. She said, I wrote my husband two letters about why I respected him. I'm amazed at how it softened him in his response to me. I've been praying for years that my husband would love me and speak my language, but when I began to speak his language,
wow.
then he responded to me in the way that I wanted.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Powerful story. And those words are important.
They are.
They make a big difference. And so I want to look at, start in here, and we're just going to take a few moments just to look at how wives can show respect to their husband, just a few ways and things that we found to be important. And I want to encourage you with. The first is this. The first way you can do that is to appreciate his desire to work and achieve, you know, and also to protect and provide for his family. You know, as a man, we're hardwired to take care of our families and to work and cultivate our lives and our businesses and whatever we're involved in. You know, in Genesis 2, God put man in the garden to cultivate it and to keep it. And, you know, it's interesting when guys meet, usually the first question we ask is, what do you do for a living, right? Isn't it? We do, because that's important to us. That is a big part of our lives. Now, it's important to women, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
But I know for men, definitely. And so, you know, when our wives tell us how much they appreciate the work we do and our efforts, it really means a lot. You know, Val's really good at this. And I remember times...
I'm getting there.
Well, no, she's done really well. But I just remember times, you know, for example, sitting down, working on her finances, trying to figure things out, and especially when things were tighter and we were really just trying to make it, sometimes it was kind of stressful. And sometimes, you know, she could just tell I was feeling a little bit under pressure and trying to work it through. And so she'd come over and she'd put her arm around me and she'd just say, you know, thank you so much for the way that you provide for our family and you take care of our family and that you work so hard. And honestly, that just meant everything. It was almost like I could straighten up and it was like air hose, right? It was like inflation. Like, I'm just like, yes, I can do this. Thank you. That makes it all worthwhile when I'm respected and honored for my efforts.
I remember visibly watching you just feel better. I could just see that, like a relief, like this burden had come off your shoulders. So it truly is
just
an amazing thing.
It seems like a small thing, but it meant a lot.
Yep, it does. So as women too, we can appreciate a man's desire. And again, if you don't believe me, read these books. They're based on research that Shanti read because they affirm the things that Egrich talks about too. Appreciate a man's desire to take charge and to problem solve. And I know I'm a strong woman. And so many times when Ian would want to try to lead or show problem solve about something, I remember not always being so respectful. And I would tend, when we had kids especially and they got bigger, I would tend to kind of treat him like one of them and not give value to his words or his wisdom at times. And I remember God really challenged my heart about that was not the right approach, that was disrespectful. And he'll sense it. When we can honor him in front of the kids or in front of his friends and speak words of life and thank him for his input, if we give reasons for disagreeing but don't attack that is just so critical, right? And that he will sense that, and we will benefit because you will feel respected and valued. So that's a really important
thing. That's another big one as well, yeah. The other thing that you can do is to appreciate your husband's desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. It's very interesting.
Shoulder
to shoulder. It's very interesting. You know, often I think women are more face to face, and you know, like my wife can have
my wife can
have like 2 to 3 hour coffees. No kidding. She got some great friends, and she'll come back like 3 hours later, and I'm like, was it 3 hours? Oh yeah, we could have kept going. I'm like, holy smokes! Like honestly, some of you guys like me are like, oh, wow, what'd you talk about? Like, I'm kind of like, well, an hour, that's good, usually, and we're good, right? But the thing is, men and women are different. Women are more face-to-face. Men are more shoulder-to-shoulder, activity-oriented, although women can be the same. And so, you know, when Val likes to do things with me, shoulder-to-shoulder, like one thing, we do like to ride bikes together, we like to walk together, and those are things that are action-oriented, cross-country skiing, and it's been great, and that's great fellowship. And guys especially like that. There's a story of a guy who liked to hunt. And so he talked his wife, who was not into hunting, into going with him, like built it up as this great experience. And so at 4 a.m. in the morning, she gets up, they go, they drive out to the remote location. They have a stand that they go to that they're up in to wait for the deer. And so, of course, they don't talk all day because they don't want to scare away the wildlife. And so pretty much the whole day goes by, there's no talking, they're kind of waiting for the deer. The deer never shows up, they never get a clean shot, nothing happens. They climb down at the end of the day, take their gear, hop in the truck, start heading home. He turns to her and he goes, that was awesome. And, you know, she probably would have jumped out of the stand halfway through the day and like, you know, like, I'm out of here, right? Because they didn't talk. But he just being with her all day, hanging out with her, her being with him. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Just her being with him. That was everything, right? It wasn't just the talking. And so just when, you know, women, wives, when you respect or understand, hey, my hubby's wired that way. And even taking an interest in what your husband might be doing, even if it's not your thing. Like if Val comes down and watches part of sports with me.
It's a miracle.
Which is quite rare. But when she's done it, it means a lot because she's not into sports. I am. But that's kind of shoulder-to-shoulder stuff. So in Titus, the older women are encouraged to help the younger women to learn how to be friends or have filial love with their husbands. Teach them how to have friendship with their husbands.
Yeah.
So it's really important.
That's so good.
Next one for you.
This next one is huge, and we don't talk about it a lot, and we need to talk about it more. But today we're just going to touch on it. And we need to appreciate as women a man's desire, our husband's desire for sexual intimacy. This can be a really tough one. And most marriage books will tell you that sexual intimacy is, again, a bigger need for men than it is for women. But the truth is, and Shanti says again in her research, that it is symbolic of a deeper need for respect. And the scriptures say, 1 Corinthians 7:15 says, stop depriving one another so that Satan will not tempt you. You know, there's a couple of amazing pastors in Edmonton, and they sometimes run seminars on this very topic of sexuality and marriage. Ruth and Simon Clarence are their names, and they've helped many, many marriages. And I went to one of her seminars, and she talked about it this way, and she said that if we are not, as women, actively engaging in our sex relationship with our husband, we're leaving them incredibly vulnerable. And I know you and I, we live in a world that is incredibly sexualized. All the billboards, and when you go into the mall, any movie you watch, so much around us, even the music, songs that are going on now. And men are very visual. God made them visual. And so when they have that and they're not having an engaging marriage in that area, their hearts and their lives, and it leaves them incredibly vulnerable and uncovered. And so she said, you are the only source. Ruth said this. She said, you are the only righteous source that of your husband's needs being fulfilled in this particular area. And Shanti also goes on to say that when you have an active, healthy sex life, then your husband feels like he can conquer the world. It really changes things for him, and it brings out, it can keep him and protect him from a place of depression. And so there's just so many benefits. I won't go into a whole bunch more of it. We don't really have time, but it's a subject that's really, really critical and important to understand that this is the way God has wired it. And so for a woman to say, I love him, but I don't want to have sex with him. Wow. That just doesn't, it would be like saying if a man said, I love my wife, but I don't want to spend any time with her. I don't actually care to be with her. How would that feel? So that's kind of how that fits together, and that's how that can feel.
Yeah, and we know, again, men and women are different on this, and sometimes, you know, we all often assume that it's the man that wants it more than the woman, but
true.
It can be sometimes the opposite way as well. The bottom line, I would say, is if there's an issue in your own relationship regarding this, don't just ignore it.
Talk about it.
Talk
Get
about
help.
It. Find help.
Get help.
Because it's important. It really
Absolutely.
Is important, and we can't ignore it.
No.
All right. To the guys, real quick, how to love your wife. John Eldridge, who's written some great books for guys, says this. A woman doesn't want to be related to with formulas, and she certainly doesn't want to be treated like a project that has answers to it.
No,
she doesn't want to be solved. She wants to be known. And, you know, I shared that with Val. I mean, she totally agrees.
Yes.
And, you know, if you think about it, when you got together as a couple before you even got married, the biggest excitement was getting to know each other.
Yes.
You know, it was sitting down for hours talking and getting to know each other and hearing about that person's heart and their desires and whatever. It was so good. Now, here's the problem. You know, you get the wife. You know, you win. You're married. And then you can let your guard down and no longer pursue her, no longer want to know her. It gets kind of predictable. It gets
not true.
It can get mundane, right?
Yeah.
And I gotta admit, I've done that at times, right?
Him.
I haven't
That's
always
okay.
chased Val, and we've had to stir that up at times.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you to continue chasing your wife, to continue to love her and care for her and want to get to know her. It's so, so very important mm-hmm. that we be doing that and to have that closeness. And like I said, we love biking, we mm-hmm. love walking together. Find those places and those ways to build that relationship.
Another thing that as women we very much value in our marriages and in our relationship is openness and understanding. And Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not become embittered against them. It's important that we clear the air. It's important that our marriages that we create a safe culture and a safe place to talk. And what I appreciate about it, and we read this somewhere in another marriage book, was that if I want to share something, then And I just want Ian to listen. I don't want him to fix it. I don't want him to problem solve it, even though I respect that he has that desire to do that. Then I can say, Ian, can you just listen? And I don't want advice. I just need you to listen. Or he can ask me, do you want me to listen?
That's good.
Or do you want me to just to give some advice? Sometimes I do. I'll say, Ian, I would like some advice. I know that I've also heard of marriages and communication styles talked about like a hedgehog and a rhino. Mm. And I know that in the early years of our marriage, I was the one that would be the hedgehog. If there was conflict or I didn't know how to express myself, I would retreat inside myself and not want to talk. And Ian was a rhino. He wanted peace. He wanted to talk right away. And so we had to learn to figure that out. And so I would encourage all of you to read the book, 5 Love Languages, because it's important to understand how we're wired differently.
Yes, it's good.
We have different ways of communicating. Different things are of value to us in relationships.
Yeah,
right?
Super good. Appreciate that. Want to shift to another point here, which is humility. You know, guys, one of the best ways we can show love to our wives mm-hmm. is to be humble.
Yes.
Is to just say those two words, I'm sorry, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm good at this because
nice
I've done so many dumb things over time that
humble
I've had
man.
To learn. Well, no, I've just had to learn to say I'm sorry, not only to my wife, but to my kids at times. But
it's
definitely
huge.
It's important, you know, because if we just sweep things under the rug and think, it doesn't really matter, or they'll forget, they don't forget.
No.
And it's interesting how when it comes out and you just simply admit you were wrong,
yes.
ask forgiveness.
Oh.
Cleans it up. You know, I think what happens in a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, is there's just a lot of clutter. There's a lot of undealt
yes.
with stuff. A
yes.
lot of unspoken I'm sorries.
Yeah,
and if it would just keep the list short, it'd be a lot healthier relationship. So I want to encourage you with that.
The last thing that I want to share, huge value for women, is loyalty in their man to them. And as women, we have a huge value to feel secure in our relationship, that our man only has eyes for us. And I so appreciate this. Ian has practiced purity. He's actually practiced making me the focal point of our relationship. And one of the ways that we can explain that is that we will go to a mall. And actually, it just happened recently. We were at a mall again, and we haven't been in a very long time because of COVID. But we were shopping. And you know what? Sometimes there's places you get near to in a mall where if you don't look away, you're going to be, for a guy especially, that's going to be something that's going to be assaulting the sense of purity that God is causing him to want to be strengthened in his life. And so all of a sudden I was aware that Ian was kind of walking a different direction on the side of the mall. And I looked and I thought, oh, we're coming up to that store. And he was deliberately pulling away so that he could keep his eyes averted and not see something. And I walked over to him and I realized what he'd done. And I said, honey, thank you. Thank you for honoring me by not wanting to be there and by protecting your eyes. And that's just huge to me. It's huge in our culture where it needs to be. Marriages need to be protected. And so I just want to say, husbands, I know how hard, I can't imagine how hard it is for you on a regular basis to avert your eyes and to keep your loyalty for your wife only, to keep your mind stayed on her as the focal point of your love and affection and your thoughts. And so that's a huge value that we have in our marriage.
Sorry, that impacted me too. You shared that. But yes, we need to be loyal and we need God to help us to be loyal, guys. We need to just take the steps we can and
keep
just say,
secure.
Lord, help us to honor
yeah.
our wives. So I want to conclude and I want to finish off here with a scripture and just a final thought. So Val, why don't you share that with us?
Oh, man. Again, I just want to say that one of the things that, if you can remember this, just because it doesn't matter to you or doesn't make sense to you, doesn't mean it doesn't matter. And love shows preference for the other person. And again, Jesus says in John 13, remember, he said, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, love one another. And that's what God wants us to do.
He does. And just again, to remind you about this love and respect principle, Jesus sets the ultimate example in Philippians 2. He says, do nothing, just to remind you,
yes,
out of selfish ambition and vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. You know, let's pray today that God would help us on this Valentine's Day to love and respect and to have the Jesus attitude that puts others first and wants to lift up our spouse, wants to lift up our friends, our family, our children. Let's do that today. So Val, would you pray for us?
I would love to.
That'd be great.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that everything we need to love well is in you. And when we know you, God, we have grace. Lord, we can focus, Lord, our heart and our love because you're a well that never runs dry. And so, God, I pray for everyone today, whether they're married or whether they're single, all of us have people in our lives, men and women, that we rub shoulders with, whether it's in work or family, whatever the relationships are, God, and we need your heart. We need your heart in these days to know how to love. We cannot love well without your love. So, Father, would you fill us and would you teach us your ways? We ask you for all of this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.